line.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew is a board-certified physician and addiction management.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little hungover from last night. I'll explain in a second. DJ Qualls is going to be here. He is here. He's just not in the studio.
He's somewhere around here.
You know, we laugh about how late I get to the job.
Yeah.
Which is the show starts at 10, and I walked in at 9:52 tonight, and Ann and Drew want to know why I was so early.
We were unsettled, freaked out.
Yeah. You thought I'd spent the night here or
something,
right?
Are you okay? I know now your brain's not working right because you're all hungover and stuff, so you had to leave extra time.
Right.
And I noticed you seemed a little slow on the draw. But
our guests actually do get here later than I do oftentimes.
Well, there we go.
Yeah.
Do you want to bring them in, is what she's saying?
No. 10 minutes. I got to talk
about
stuff.
He's got to talk about his bachelor party weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. And DJ only distract me. DJ, I don't know if you even get to call him DJ. I think DJ Qualls you have to call him.
Yeah.
You know him most notably from Road Trip. I know him from The Core. Mm. Not from the movie The Core. Just, I really feel like I know him.
Oh, yes.
From The Core.
Yes.
Yeah. And also he's in Hustle and Flow, which is this new movie coming out. Anyone who watches MTV or basic cable at all has seen a million commercials for it. And I hear a little early Oscar buzz or even talk about with, like, I don't know, Ludacris or some of the other actors, maybe even DJ Qualls.
Nice.
So it's supposed to be a really good movie. He'll be in here in a second. We'll talk to him about that. A couple of things. First off, flew out to Vegas to go to a bachelor party yesterday. Me and Jimmy flew out in the afternoon. And I just flew back tonight.
Where
later
was it?
Afternoon.
Where was the party?
Hard Rock.
Party was at the Hard Rock.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Good times. Good times. You know, one of the reasons people don't go to bed over there is because it's 95.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons.
And it's weird.
Except it's 62 in the casinos.
I know, but you're not in a casino. You're up in a suite, and they got the double doors open, and people are smoking and everything. The wind, just sort of this hot wind blowing in. Mm-hmm. And when you're getting pelted by hot wind, it doesn't feel like 4:45 in the morning.
Right. Good point.
It just feels like it's dusky.
Yeah.
It sounds like, what is it, 7:30, 8 o'clock?
Yeah.
No, it's, it's going to be 5 in 2 minutes. So, anyway, there's that. That was a good time. Did some drinking.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, when you're in Vegas and you're just drinking, it's sort of like you're not doing anything.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Ooh. I realize that. There's drugs going around.
Pass my cards out next time.
Yeah. I mean, I was like...
I should set up a separate room just where I detox you guys. Just next door to the suite.
I know. I was like, I'm just drinking tonight, which was like I wasn't participating. It's like, I'm on the wagon.
Kind of like the professional football player physicians do. You just get the IVs going, the oxygen tanks, send you guys back in.
Could have used it. So, I went to bed about 5:30, and I cut out early. I mean, I left the party about 5 and went back and crashed. You know what I love about me? I go back to my hotel room. That's about 4:45. I still got to watch an hour of TV. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I go to bed about 6.
Yeah.
It's the weird, like, I don't care. If I get home at 11 o'clock at night, I'll watch an hour of TV and go to bed. If I come home at 5:30 in the morning, stinking drunk, I'll watch an hour of TV and then go to bed. And when I come home at 5:30, I'm not drunk anymore. It's just nuts. I got to watch an hour of TV. Yeah. Then I'm going to bed.
I wondered how it was you could always recite those Tommy Vuk commercials. Word for word.
Yeah. Yes.
An outrage that no one else could.
You're too chicken to make money. I come over here in coffee can. You see that boat? That's my toy. You see them bitches? Hey, bitch, off my toy. That's my toy. They're my toys, too. That Ferrari? You're too chicken. You're too spineless. You're too weak to buy one. You're too scared. Scared to make money. Trying to scare you into making money. But I think he's in jail now. But the point is had a good time. In Vegas, flew Southwest out.
Ooh.
You know what?
You were sitting next to Jimmy, at least. You weren't sitting next to the guy in the cutoffs.
Oh, no. Oh. You don't get to sit next to who you want to sit next to on Southwest.
You were in round four or whatever there.
It is a rock tumbler in there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if you get in the first batch, there's different batches.
Here's the thing about, let me explain something about Southwest. The people that fly Southwest are people that are outraged when you say $65 for round trip to Vegas. Right. They're like, oh, this is a slap in the face. Am I one of the Rothschilds? Right. How dare you? Right. I'll walk. You know what I mean? Like, these are people that think it's outrageous to get into triple digits for a round trip ticket anywhere in the country. These are also people, they're like my family. If the flight left at noon, they would get there 9:45. Because they're poor people whose time is worth nothing.
Right, right, right.
You understand?
Yes.
Like, they're poor people who say, I'd rather pay $50 and go Southwest than pay $80 and just get a signed seat.
Yes,
And show up like a human being a half hour before the plane left. So everyone who gets there is before you, because I sure as F am not going to Burbank Airport 2 hours before the flight leaves.
Got it.
Especially when there's a kind of math, which is you can get to Vegas in 3.5 hours in automobile if you do it during the right time of the day, which means the clock is ticking from the time you leave the house to the airport to the time you pull up to the Hard Rock.
Correct.
That's about it.
Yep.
You get to the airport 2 hours later, you should have just climbed out of your car and just stay in your car and kept going to Vegas.
Totally agree. And the way William McCarran is now.
Oh!
You're spending 3 hours there.
Vegas, McCarran Airport at Vegas, the line on a Sunday afternoon.
Oh, for Southwest? Oh, forget it.
Well, here's the comedy. Southwest is gate C.
Yeah.
So I'm like, wait a minute, I'm not taking Southwest home. I'm taking United home. So I'm like, oh, gate D, United. So I'm walking up and I see Southwest and I see, you know, the C gate and the line is going on. I'm like, suckers. And I keep walking. It's the exact same line on the other side of that little peninsula.
Right.
Like, even a little further back.
Yes, yes.
And I feel like an idiot. Plus, I had marijuana in my bag.
What?
Yeah. I had drugs in the bag.
Are you out of your effing mind?
I thought about it and I thought, maybe. Yeah. I'm out of my mind because I didn't remove my scissors from my toiletry bag where the joint was, you know.
Oh my God.
That's what I should have done.
A joint that important? Do you just toss it out?
It is. It is kind of.
There's no principle here.
No, there is.
No, there isn't.
It's all principle.
No, there's
it's
no.
It's all principle.
I
said it's all principle. It's all principle. How dare you? Because I don't even smoke much pot anymore.
That's what I'm saying.
But here's the deal.
Anymore.
I got friends who smoke pot, number one, and I like to entertain.
Yeah.
And that's why I think they come over. And number two, this guy, so I was walking out of the party last night and about 5 in the morning, and this guy is clearly just a drug dealer, just hands me this huge joint.
Who knows what's in that? It's not like your mom.
Well, look, it's at least pot. Maybe it's angel dust or something, and I get lucky.
Oh, my God.
I know what you're saying. The point is, I went, wow, this incredible smelling joint. So I, you know, threw it in my pocket. And I walked back to my room. And then this morning, you know, and then I just watched Discovery Channel for an hour and went to sleep. And then I get up this morning. There's this pristine doobie sitting on my bathroom counter. And I think, now what do I do? Should I? Because I'm weird. I'll have to smoke this whole joint right now. I'm not just going to throw it away.
Or you just eat it.
I should have ate it.
Because that would have satisfied all your weird neuroticisms.
Right. So I should have eaten it. But I was like, I'm not throwing this away. And then I thought, I like it. I like to smoke some weed once in a while. But certainly everyone I know comes over likes to smoke weed. And I want to have this is a good joint. And it was a gift. You understand?
Is that
it means
the principle?
Something. Yes, a drug addict gave it to me, who I'd never met before.
A kilo of heroin, would that have been okay?
That would have been a gift from my Colombian friends. So the point is I said, all right, what do I do with this joint? And then I thought, why not? I'm an adult. I pay my taxes.
Uh-oh.
I don't have a criminal record.
You're going down a dangerous path here. Yeah,
I know, but I'm not a criminal. I'm not doing anything.
No.
I'm going home to go to work to pay more goddamn taxes. I have a joint. I can be responsible. Mm-hmm. Is it huge difference between stopping at the duty-free shop and buying a bottle of tequila that I could happily bring home, a little Cuervo 1800? Okay, you know what I mean?
Okay, Whitney.
All right, so the point is I say, all right, I'm going to take this joint. And then I start thinking, where do I put it? So first, I think Keister.
Mm-hmm. You know, that would be all right.
That's my first play of everything. And then I think, yeah, put it in my sock or something. And I think, yeah, I'll just put it in my medicine cap, you know, my toiletry bag.
Yeah.
I'll just put it in there because, well, why not? And I put it in a little vitamin thing, like a little multivitamin, you know, thing. You know, drop it in there, screw it shut. And then I realize
the dogs.
I think about the dogs.
Yeah.
I did see a dog in the airport. Right. The next thing I think about is I got scissors. And I got stopped on the way in for the scissors.
Yeah.
But the scissors got a little round thing on the end of them, so they let me have them. But they can't tell during the x-ray.
So they're going to take all that out.
They're going to take all that out. So I just say, ah, F it. I throw it in there. Because I say, what's he going to do? He's not going to open the vitamin pack and start rolling that
unless
stuff out. He's looking for scissors.
On the video, on the x-ray.
Yeah, unless. I don't know. So sure enough, I'm going through the thing. First off, there's 7,000 people in front of me.
Huge.
I mean, leaving Vegas, okay.
It's crazy.
What about the bullet train? They've been working on the goddamn bullet train since I was a sophomore in high school. Yes, a bullet train is going to go L.A. to Vegas. Going to be an hour and 10 minutes, gambling and boozing. It's awesome. Never gets built. Anyway, pull me aside. Pull the bag aside. Guy, now he's opening the kit. And he's thrashing through the kit. Of course he can't find the scissors. Even though they're just, you know, I just threw them in there. There's just one, you know, he's throwing stuff out. Actually grabs the thing with the joint in it.
Oh.
Shaking that around, sets that down, pulling other stuff out, pulls the scissors out, puts the whole thing back, and I'm on my way. Yeah.
You should be a criminal.
I should have been stoned.
You have ice in your veins. You do. Nothing.
Why? I don't care. Drew, talk. Can I get a drink of water for the love of F?
Hey, dude, that's called a pregnant pause.
All right, knock it off.
That is to make note of my shock and dismay.
All right, well, don't do it when I'm drinking. Well, look, first off, I don't even know what you get for a joint. But number two.
Airport.
F them.
I'm just saying.
I don't give a rat's ass. I'm not doing anything wrong.
The rest of us have, like, emotions that sort of regulate and determine our, you know, help us in making judgments. We think, ooh, that's scary, or oh, that makes me feel bad. Feelings.
Let's
slow down for you. Feelings. They're called feelings.
Yeah.
You sort of feel happy or sad. I know you've had some of those once in a while.
Well, look, I had a feeling of satisfaction when I went through McCarran with a joint today, if that's what you're talking about. No, I'll tell you what really the thought process is for me. I think, oh, I'm going to have to throw the joint away. Oh, I'm going to have to shove it up my ass. Oh, maybe I should eat it. And then, oh, what the hell am I doing?
Yes.
What planet am I from? Am I some time traveler from the future who's been put back to be driven insane by these archaic laws? Who gives a rat's ass? And I'm standing up for my dignity. I'm going, you know what? If I want a joint, I'm going to the airport. And if Infinity Broadcasting has a mandatory sexual harassment seminar, I'm not going. And if they fire me, they fire me. That's the way it is. Everyone, please stand up. Stand up. Take a stand, everybody. You're not a criminal. You're not a terrorist. Do we have to be treated like criminals? Do you know what I mean? Should we always be on the run? Hey, everyone in L.A., should we be driving with our head on a swivel looking out for cops because we're going 4 miles over the goddamn speed limit or roll through a four-way stop sign at 4 a.m. when there's no traffic on the road? We're not criminals. We didn't do anything wrong. Well, you know, I got to believe, and, you know, this country has a higher per capita inmate population than any other place in the world. Why are we so, you know, and no wonder people are freaked out. I don't want to be freaked out. I pay too much in taxes to be freaked out. I don't commit enough crime to be freaked out. All I do is pay an S-load in taxes and commit no crimes. I'm not going to walk around freaked out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you.
Can everyone just be that way? Here's who I want to be freaked out. The criminals. They don't seem to be freaked out. They got no problems. They're in their underpants. They got a softball bat. It's 4 a.m. He's dragging 4 beers hanging on one of those six-pack bands, and he's arguing with the cop and won't put the bat down. He's got no problems. Me? I'm going to have a heart attack because I'm trying to go through the airport with a roach. And I'm not a criminal.
And I get that.
All right, so let's just not act like it.
I know.
That's all I'm saying.
Spirit of the law has been lost, huh?
No. Then the real punishment began when I got on at United. I got that sack of Fiesta Mix.
Oh, no, you did not break into that.
Oh, yes.
No, you did not.
Does anyone eat Fiesta Mix on the ground? That's no. The only... If the, anyone from United is listening...
Did you make her pick out the nuts?
There were no nuts! No nuts! No nuts! No, there. You know what there was? They're replacing peanuts now with the
soybeans.
Soybean, yeah. Which is...
Yeah.
In terms of just sort of the cosmic level, yeah. Going from the only redeeming thing about that horrifying Fiesta Mix was the 2.5 peanuts you could salvage.
And the occasional almond
from
find.
That essential, yeah. If they just aborted a fetus into a foil sack.
Perfect.
And put 3 peanuts in it, I would rather have it than the 2 peanut and the Fiesta Mix.
Yeah.
That's the only thing you could salvage was the 2.5 peanuts that came in the Fiesta Mix. Now, you get nothing. You get a soy-based bean. And in my whole, here's my whole thing on the airplane. Is there such a thing as Fiesta Mix on the ground?
No.
Is there a vending machine that sells Fiesta Mix?
No.
You ever seen anyone go into a liquor store? Oh, give me some Fiesta Mix.
Oh, just a little packets, please.
Yeah, just a little. Just give me the little 1-ounce packet of Fiesta Mix.
Yeah.
Yeah, generic stuff. Yeah. No, I don't want anything I recognize. Right. Yeah, the little super mini pretzels that have as much salt in them as a giant pretzel. That's what I want. Somehow they've taken the huge, giant ballpark pretzel, taken all the sodium in that, and they squeeze into one the size of a nickel.
Yeah,
like I want that ass.
Yeah.
Does anyone ever throw a party and say, we need more Fiesta Mix, we're out of Fiesta Mix? No, they go to the liquor store, they eat Snickers bars, they eat M&Ms, they eat peanuts, they eat walnuts, they eat beer nuts. Yes, they eat little Blue Diamond smoked diamonds. They eat normal food.
Even potato chips or something.
Just give me a sack of goddamn Lay's chips, something. Well, I would blow the guy for a sack of Doritos.
I'm sure.
Right.
Or just for whatever.
Then you get that poor, salty, crappy Fiesta Mix. It's like everyone is just some horrible holding tank, in some Tijuana prison. And everyone just busts it open. They spread it out on their little table and pathetically pick out what's edible. There's like 4 things in there and they can eat 2 of them. And there's just this weird, dusty, salty mix. I know that stuff must be free because it just must be surplus from the military or from women's prisons or something. But could they just go ahead? Here's the deal. I'm what you call a high roller. Go ahead and tack 46 cents onto my ticket. Go ahead. Give me a sack of Doritos. You know what? Round up to a buck. Because, that's the way I do. I play fast and loose, baby. Fast and loose. I'll pay an extra 36 cents to have my dignity 30,000 feet above the ground. Awesome.
All right, let's talk to Fiona. We left off.
What about DJ Qualls?
He's coming in here after the break, you said. Are you in here now?
I was going to bring him in at minute 10, but...
Well, you've already been going for 20.
You started talking so much.
Yeah, I know.
All right, let's hold off. We'll take Fiona, we'll take a break, and then we'll do DJ Wright.
Because Fiona, we left off with when we stopped last show. Fiona?
Yes?
Right? We left off with you.
Yep.
Where were we?
I don't know.
Well, what did you want to ask us? Tell us your story.
I draw hardcore guy-on-guy porn.
Right.
And you've got a bunch of women who are interested in this.
Yeah, and young girls.
Young girls?
Those
yeah.
Two.
So you do the... what? It's anime porn, right?
Yeah, kind of. Like, what I do is doujinshi. It's fan comics, so it's like... there's a series out there, and I draw characters from that series.
All right.
Like, Harry Potter is a big one.
Okay. Is Harry Potter doing gay porn?
Yes.
Oh,
really?
He is?
Yeah. One of the biggest ones is Harry Potter.
Is there anything about any sort of character to these women that are so interested in this? Or are they goth? Are they, can you tell who they
are?
No,
not goth. The young ones are crazy. They run up to the booth screaming and jumping around and just going insane. The old ones are a lot calmer about it.
Who's the second and third biggest characters you draw?
Well, Gundam was always big. Inuyasha, Full Metal Alchemist. Those are all big.
Hold on. Calling all nerds. who are you talking about? Gumba?
It's anime characters.
Oh, yeah, I know, but you mentioned Harry Potter.
Yeah.
So you say these...
These are series.
I know, but people get a kick out of seeing recognizable faces being cornholed. Who are some other recognizable faces we might see cornholed?
Those are really recognizable faces. Those are really recognizable series.
How about to the normal person?
Yeah, how about to the non-super nerd?
The for the non-super nerd.
All right. Here's what I'm asking.
I know.
You know what I'm asking, right?
Yeah, we all know who Harry Potter is.
We all know who Harry Potter
is. Is there some character like that out there?
Do you have another one that we might? That's all I'm
asking. Not the people that are into anime.
No, not Gunga Fun and Bavialza Fooch. Idiots. What's going on with these people in the comic books?
I'm sorry.
Who's number two that we may have heard of?
No one else that you might have heard of.
Okay, thank you.
That's fine.
That feels vindicated.
Harry Potter's the only one that's really
well known. All right.
Yeah, he's not... Who?
Harry Potter.
Okay. Oh, okay, good. All right, so you draw this. You draw him in super graphic gay situations?
Yeah, and really fetishist kind of stuff, too.
What does that mean? Leather and stuff?
Rape and torture and...
Oh, my God.
And the kind of stuff you draw is, while not a photograph, obviously, in ways, much more graphic. I mean, just you can...
You can get in there. The detail, you can really...
And obviously, you can get them to do things that their agents wouldn't agree to in real life. You know?
Things that aren't, like, possible by the laws of physics.
Yeah, and speaking of laws, isn't corn on the cob?
Yeah, they like to have weird things.
Yeah, that's what I was going to do with that doobie a couple hours back.
Corn on the cob?
That's one. Yeah. There was an anime, a pornographic guy-on-guy anime made years ago that had corn on the cob. And so now a lot of people who were into it asked for corn on the cob.
Mm-hmm. And as far as the legal part goes, you know, like the company that makes Lord of the Rings or Harry Potter.
Don't they come after you?
Yeah.
No. It's legal in Japan, and you can import these from Japan. So
right.
Even though it's not legal in America, the anime conventions sell Japanese things, and so they just kind of don't care.
It's not legal because of copyright problems.
Right.
It's legal in Japan. Japan has weird copyright laws.
Right. Okay, thank you.
So anyway, Fiona, what's your question for your sake?
It's not legal where we live and where we're talking, and that's why I said that.
No, but if you make it in Japan, it's legal to sell it.
Okay.
Yeah. Now I'm done with it.
No.
DJ Qualls coming in.
Oh, my God.
I don't care.
See, I bet. You had to wait 3 days to ask her questions,
listen,
for God's sake.
I'm not stupid.
I know you're not.
Forget it. Put her on hold.
She's on hold.
We'll take a break. Put her on hold again. That's how much on hold I want her. I want her triple on hold.
Double secret, triple hold.
Holdbation. We're going to take a quick break. DJ Qualls is here from Hustle and Flow, and we'll be right back after this.
Love Line will be right back, so get your problems ready. Ready.
Hey, everybody, it's the Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Yeah. DJ Qualls is here. Hustle and Flow.
Hello.
Name of the new movie. We last saw DJ. Well, it's been
over three years.
Yeah, I can't believe that.
Talking about Road Trip maybe last time he was here or DVD.
I don't remember what I was here for. Or maybe it was The New Guy when I was here in 2002.
Yeah, I can't remember, but I remember I liked him. All we do is, we don't remember.
We're like dogs.
Yeah, we either like the way your ass smells or we don't. And
Do you remember thinking I was black the first time I came on the show? That's what you, the first thing you ever said to me was, I thought you were black.
Probably thought that. Yeah, whenever you hear the DJ, you got, and then the Qualls thing is, and then. But anyway, I'm over that now. This time I knew what to expect. The movie... I've been hearing some pretty... Well, first off, they've been pumping the hell out of it on MTV and every other basic cable station. But there's been some pretty good early reviews and stuff. I was watching Entertainment Tonight on, like, Friday, and they're talking about a little Oscar, early Oscar buzz.
Yeah, people start crapping on it probably right after it comes out, because that normally happens. It was basically a movie that nobody in Hollywood wanted to make. I was attached to it for almost 3 years before it went.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and John Singleton, like, sold his house.
Wow.
And we just went down to Memphis and made it for like $3 million.
Wow. So this is a Singleton movie.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he didn't direct it. He produced it.
Oh, he didn't direct
it? Craig Brewer, a guy who lives in Memphis. He's a writer-director from Memphis. He did it.
And you, I mean, I only know what you play from the commercial where they were having fun calling you light skin black. But... Are you DJing in this thing, or what are you doing in this
thing? I'm a music producer. I play the piano at Anthony Anderson's character's at his church. Mm-hmm. And I'm sort of brought in to this pimp's house. Like, he's a hardcore sort of Memphis pimp. And I'm a white guy that shows up to help him get his sound together.
And your background is, do you do music?
No, I play the clarinet.
That's it.
Exactly.
Okay. I didn't know what the DJ.
He was in the band
No. My name is Donald Joseph. That's what it stands for. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't think that's what you did, but then DJ Qualls, well, maybe did something I didn't know about.
All very confusing. And the lead character in the movie's name is DJ.
So nice. Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, must have been great on the set.
Yeah.
So you like the movie? The movie's good?
The movie's amazing.
It is.
It's by far the best thing I've ever done.
Hmm. Wow. And yeah. Is it kind of 8 Mile-esque?
I don't think so. 8 Mile was kind of commercial, and it was specific than it was the life story of Eminem.
Right.
Like, this is just about a guy. It's actually the director's story about how he made his first movie. His wife became a stripper to help him finish his movie.
Wow.
And he sort of really suffered to do it. And that's what the movie is sort of about. And I think while he was scouting locations for his first movie, a pimp rolled up in a Caprice Classic and said, hey, and he had this white girl with him, and he was like, hey, are you interested in the girl? And then he said no, and then he tried to sell him the car. And so it was this sort of, like, attitude of just sort of, you know, doing whatever you have to do to survive.
Right.
And he just sort of took that and ran with it and wrote the script.
And it's basically the music equivalent to him doing his first feature.
Right.
All right, that is out July 22nd. Yeah, well, I'm going to watch that, Drew. Drew, you going to go?
Say good day.
That means Drew wants to take calls. Fiona?
Yes?
All right, so you draw the gay Japanese anime.
What was your question?
Well, I hear you talk to strippers all the time saying they learn to hate men and by doing that. I wanted to know if maybe this was going to affect me the same way.
Like, it's a little different.
I'm a virgin and
it's kind of funny.
Never had a relationship.
That's not so good. But here's my kind of take on this.
You got to take some of her eraser and hit that ass a little bit. You know what I mean? Drink that down a little bit.
Maybe a little more exercise. Can
you turn the eraser on yourself? Like a Bugs Bunny cartoon? Fiona?
Yes?
You a big gal?
No.
Really?
Really.
And something's wrong.
But I'm not fat.
Oh, and something's wrong with your teeth.
Nothing. I have great teeth.
Great teeth and not fat.
Nope.
Like,
I've had stalkers. I've had guys hit at me. I just don't.
All right.
Been in a relationship.
Why? I mean, you're clearly strange, but what's up?
I don't know. Like, my friends lost their virginity when I was pretty young, and they all regretted it. And so I was like, well, I'm never going to do that. And so, like,
right. Right. That should last until about 17 and a half, and then, you know, your brain should, you know, refunction.
Kick back in.
Right.
Reboot, as it were.
It should boot up again.
And
yeah.
I look at guys and I'm attracted, but I'm like, I don't really want a relationship. And I do want a relationship.
Well, here's the deal, Fiona. Yeah. There's the girls that become strippers participate in the men's exploitation of them as a sexual object, which is usually a reenactment of something that happened to them in childhood when they were exploited by their dad or some neighbor or somebody had sexual abuse with them. That's a totally different thing than what you're doing, which is isolating with your sexuality.
Yeah.
You're using it as a way to sort of pull yourself into a fantasy world where no one else participates with you. And it's a very aggressive kind of... I wonder if you're sort of angry at this isolation, and the way to let that out is through these aggressive images.
It's definitely weird. I mean, anyone who's into that anime is a weirdo. It's horrible. It's aesthetically hard stuff to look at. Just, I can't stand that junk. I get angry at that. It's weird to me. It's like, I was switching channels around and I see that Pokemon thing, and it's like I have to dive on the remote. I can't change it fast enough.
It's like annoying sounds.
Yeah.
It's like sounds go, like chalk on the nails on the blackboard.
Yes, that's what it is. Yeah. It's like it hits on a sort of weird visceral level that just transcends bad art. Like, you know, I want to see a crappy cartoon, I'll watch Grape Ape.
Yeah.
That's a crappy cartoon.
That's a crappy cartoon.
This runs much deeper than that.
Yeah,
and then my theory always is if it hits me on some visceral level and it's like, I have to avert my gaze and I can't stand it and I have to change the channel, then you show me people that are into him, weirdos. That means they're bizarre weirdos.
Mm.
They have to be.
You hear that, DJ? So anything, if you don't like what Adam likes, you're a bizarre weirdo.
Yes.
Or if you like what he doesn't like, you're a bizarre weirdo.
I agree with the Japan anime thing. It's a weird thing. It's too real, but it's almost like, looks like child porn to me. Like, it's
yes.
like
everybody
well, that's
sort what this
of,
is.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing that's embraced, ironically, by weirdos. Mm. Of course. Like, if some guy just said, look, we're driving across country. I'm a huge Japanese anime fan. What would you be like?
Drive out of the car.
Yeah, how about you just drag me behind the car in a mechanic's creeper? I'll be fine. I'll just hang on to the bumper. I'll stand on a skateboard and you just drag me. I mean, wouldn't you rather opt for that?
Yep.
Okay.
All right, but Fiona, so the deal is...
Fiona's a weirdo.
Well, it's about her isolating and why is she isolating? So why are you, you know, you're like Unabomber, Fiona. Why are you isolating so much?
I really don't know. I had a normal childhood and like I had that stalker when I was about 15, but that was it.
Do you ever have any of those symptoms? Do you ever hear voices or hear or see things or anything like that?
No.
Nothing like that.
Well, look, Drew, one...
Well, you what? You what?
I'm an insomniac, and when I don't sleep for too long, I start blacking out sometimes.
Drew, isn't like one out of every 10 weirdos just a weirdo?
Yeah, yeah.
They weren't molested. Yeah, no,
yes.
They weren't abused.
Yes, yes.
That's you, Fiona. You're okay. Just a weirdo, baby.
Here's the way you can get out of that. Have a relationship.
How about you?
You crawl out of your hole and start dealing with
just
people.
Just go do it.
Yeah.
Can I ask one more question?
Yeah. Real quick.
It's about, I want to know if it's still okay. Like I said, a lot of it's fetishist stuff. And some of these are like children, like they're 17. And I want to know if that was still okay to draw.
Well, in the cosmic sort of scales of justice.
You're drawing underage cartoons.
Yeah.
Like, when I first started and I was 14, I didn't mind drawing 14-year-olds. And now when I get requests for people that are 12 or 11, I'm like, no.
Yeah.
And what do you mean requests? Like specific? Like they send you a picture of their nephew?
It's like $20,000 I do commissions.
Yeesh.
So like I could take a picture of my 9-year-old nephew and send it to you and draw a picture of him naked for me?
Yes. That wouldn't be $20,000. That'd be like a couple hundred.
Well, yeah, but I'd do it for free by just kicking in the bathroom door one day when he was swimming.
A couple hundred thousand?
Like a couple hundred dollars, I think she said.
I don't do that.
Right. You know what I'd have you do? I'd have you just put a mustache on him so it seemed like he was old.
Here's
like
the deal. Let's talk about this in terms of the scales of
and then I put
justice.
My finger over the mustache when I was looking at it. I'll put a little tape over it.
On one hand, you could argue that these people getting pictures of this child porn is better than them having real pictures, of real humans doing things. It could divert that need or at least that market.
Yeah, it's like them saying, at least they're drinking and smoking weed, not actually doing coke.
Right.
Which we all know just
leads
means they just start doing coke
exactly.
Eventually.
And that's the thing about these pictures is that I think it's like you have to be cold turkey on these behaviors that are so dangerous. You can't massage it in any way because it will go off.
These people need to be swatted like flies. Yeah. They're weirdos.
So the bottom line is, Fiona, no, it's not okay in terms of what you're doing for other people and for children. In terms of your own soul, I think it takes a piece of it with you. I really do.
Look, I'm not really into the slippery slope stuff. I can't stand the slippery slope
theory. This is momentum. This isn't slippery slope.
Yes. I'm saying in the field of anything that sort of pertains to child pornography or any kind of stuff that even seems close to that, I'm a big fan of the slippery slope stuff. Like, I don't, you just get off the 12-year-olds in their underpants. They're not really doing anything. That's enough.
Right.
I don't want to give you that. It's going to lead into other things.
I wouldn't even, it's not a slippery slope that you slide into. It's drives that are intensified.
It's a momentum.
It's momentum, exactly.
Right. I'm just saying there are other, I don't want to sound like I'm contradicting myself because I argue against the slippery slope thing oftentimes. This is not that.
You mean it's not a slippery slope that us turning left during left red arrows is going to lead to us running through stoplights and just driving my car into a wall.
Right.
I think that's what it'll lead to, right? It's a slippery slope.
That's what I'm talking about, yes.
It's a compulsion, though, right?
Of sorts. Compulsion is not a strong enough word, really. I mean, compulsions, there are things that trouble you and you don't want to do and you sometimes are compulsed to do. This is something you must do.
Would have been funny if DJ said effing compulsion then. It would just sound funny. I mean, yeah. And I don't know how you get it out of somebody.
Well, you certainly don't. You don't reinforce it.
Well, here's what let's talk about this because it's Sunday night. Might as well get heavy. I think there's this thought that we have that we're starting to realize may not be correct, which is as a sane, we're all right thinking, sane people who would never do anything sexual to a child. And as a matter of fact, it's not in our vocabulary.
Yeah,
it's bizarre. Yeah. Couldn't even think about it, but we think we can take this sanity and sort of inject it into somebody who doesn't have these thoughts. And I'm starting to wonder if that's possible. I mean, if you, like I always say, Drew, you like the ladies. You're a passionate man.
Adult
sensual,
ladies.
Sensuous, passionate, sensuous, sensuous, you're sensual, passionate man.
Yes.
Okay. And if I said to you, look, hey, no more ladies now. That's enough. Now you know you're doing wrong. We need some 12-year-old boys. You'd be sneaking out to get the chicks, no matter what we told you. You might go long. I mean, you might go, yeah, give me a 13-year-old. Then you sneak out the window and go find yourself a chick.
Right. Then you're saying the converse is the
converse
same.
Is, and even maybe stronger, because what they're doing is not even, like, I don't
wired
know
if in
they're
some weird
as
way.
Flexible yeah. as we could be. Yeah, they're yeah. insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, you find a guy who's like, thinks it's a nice idea to be with a 9-year-old male sexually, you're going to have a hard time telling that guy that's wrong, or you can tell him it's wrong all you want. You're going to have a hard time convincing him to stop. I don't know that we can. And I think our thought as a society is well, we're sane and we're right. And if we just tell them what tell them what the answer is,
right.
They'll listen.
The biggest misconception we have is that somehow reason will prevail.
That's right.
If we just convince them and help them understand why this is wrong, well, then they'll stop doing it.
Right.
No, we're not talking about that part of the brain. That part of the brain works fine. It's a different part you can't talk to that doesn't communicate with the outside, that is just a drive system that doesn't have logic,
right.
doesn't have language,
right.
and it prevails.
Yes. Look, I'm the same way with the pedophiles as I am with the terrorists. It's, look, we can only convince these people that we're good, caring people that just wanted to spread our form of government. And now they want to blow us up even more. Right. We just got to go crush them. Anyone who wants to blow us up, we go blow them up. And anyone who wants to F a 9-year-old, put them in the ground. And then we keep moving. Then all the normal people that don't want to F a 9-year-old and don't want to blow up a bus in England, we get to all just go about our lives. It's awesome, isn't it?
Because I do wonder about that. When people get released from prison for abusing children.
Oh, they aren't letting go of that.
Yeah, right.
Uh-uh. Well, like trying to convince Adam out of the big pop,
I like a
the,
big. I like big jugs because I'm super healthy.
Uber
yeah.
male.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the point is, you put me in the joint for 8 years. First thing I want is jugs when I get
right.
out. That's number one. I want some Haagen-Dazs, and I want some giant areola. That's what I want. Big areola sundae with a nipple on top. All right. Let's take a breath.
Please.
DJ Qualls is here. Plays clarinet. Hustle and Flow, name of his show, coming out on the 22nd to, and I'm guessing, everywhere. Wide release.
Yeah, wide.
Wide. Super wide. July 22nd. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this.
1-800-LOVE-191.
Loveline will be right back.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. DJ Qualls is here tonight. Hustle and Flow. Name of the movie. I've been seeing a lot of commercials for it. I've almost deemed it. It's one is one of those movies that may be too cool for me to watch.
Like, it's really not.
Sure.
No. It's about a bunch of poor people like trying to do the best they can.
I know, but they know they're cool on some level, and
this
I don't
may,
feel
this
like
may
I'm welcome.
Stir up some feelings for you, Adam.
Yeah, like I don't feel like I see a good, you know, just sort of, you know, movie where someone's things are getting blown up and
you like that.
You know, aliens are landing. Mm. I think I could do that, but this movie seems like it might be too good for me to watch.
It's a good movie, but I think you can relate.
All right.
To a black pimp from Memphis. You have that vibe.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, well, first off, as any pimp knows, green is for the money and gold is for the honey. Because
that's right.
My dear friend, Bishop Don Magic Wand, told me that many years ago when we traveled about with him. Yeah, drinking off his chalice, driving around in the, I think we're driving in his Rolls, maybe his caddy.
Over to his apartment in Culver City, I think.
Yeah, I mean, there was a...
Yeah, this is a real pimp. Like, he doesn't have the chalice. And this guy's a real pimp. No, but this guy's pimping $2 hoes. Like, he's not pimping...
Yeah, yeah.
He's a hardcore pimp.
No. This Don Magic Juan has become a caricature of himself over the last few years. But first off, one of the few guys who has a Rolls Royce, has a Cadillac, and lives in a crappy apartment. Not too many guys driving a Rolls that live in a crappy apartment.
And drinks out of a gold chalice.
Yeah.
It's nice.
And we pulled up into his apartment. We're doing a man show thing. And he was just there. And it was like a scene It was like a scene from Animal House where they go into that black bar and they're like, Otis, my man. And everyone just turns and looks at him. Like, me and Jimmy just come walking in. There's like nine, like, the guys look like gangbangers just sitting there. We're the only white guys in the place. They're eating like Popeye's chicken and playing, you know, Nintendo. And they're just baked out of their brains, a cloud of smoke. And Jimmy and I come walking in our, they're wearing like tough skins and velour shirts, and I, hey fellas, what's happening? And they all just turn around, smoke just staring at us with these bloodshot eyes, no idea who we are, what we're doing there. Then later on, Don Magic Wand, you know, showed us the ropes.
I remember I interviewed a pimp once named like Rose Paddle or something for a webcast.
Yeah,
remember that guy?
Yeah,
did he come up here? Was he on the
something? Yeah, yes, he did.
And he was talking about how he beat his women and how they need that, they ask for that.
Yeah,
which is an interesting thing. People who are physically abusive or even sexually abusive often believe that because somebody doesn't run away from them or doesn't sort of fight back, that that means they need it or want it. It's right. How they interpret how it allows them to go on with their behaviors.
Yeah, pimp is one of these. Pimp's actually a gig that you get a better shake at in movies than you do in real life.
Yeah.
Like, real pimps are probably abusive, criminal, drug addicts.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. Just, no way. They're probably, your average pimp is probably low as a guy gets, but we've made him into a sort of a nice caricature
yeah.
on TV and movies and things like that. Mm-hmm. And he's actually, they get a pretty good shake.
We put him in a nice purple hat with a feather coming
yeah,
out of the
yeah,
door.
So he's yeah.
friendly.
And he's got a little information for Starsky and everything's cool. Yeah. I'm wondering that, but I wonder who has gotten a bad shake. You know what I mean? Like, firemen get a good shake. Ah, I'll tell you who gets a bad shake. Pimps get, you know, pimps are full-blown criminals and at best they're just sort of lovable troublemakers yeah. in movies, right?
Yeah.
Firemen, the greatest guys in the world in any movie, right?
Yeah.
I'll tell you who gets a bad shake. National Guardsmen. They're always nincompoops. They're always like sort of when the hero's coming up to them,
yeah.
you can't get past here. No, and they're always trying to explain things to them. You don't understand. You're going the wrong way. You're going to get hurt. And they won't listen. And then they go and then the ray hits them and they blow up. Like, you ever met a smart, has there ever been a smart National Guardsman in any movie of any kind?
No.
Like some just
well, MPs too get a bad rap.
MPs and National yeah. Guardsmen. Any movie that they're in, they're just always the clod, dirt brain idiot who's trying to get in the way of the guy who knows what the real answer is.
We know who gets a bad rap.
Well, you know what they want to do too? They want to shoot at whatever it is, and the person is saying, "No, don't shoot at him. If you shoot him, out of the way." And they fire the gun, and then the lasers start going off, and things start disintegrating. So never smart National Guardsmen
throughout film history.
Throughout film history.
Yes.
Who else?
Which is anybody in authority who's trying to be helpful gets a bad rap.
Yes. Well, I would say white guys in authority get a bad rap.
Doctors get a bad rap.
Any white guy owns a company.
Right. Bad rap.
Well, it's because he's trying to rape the land, man. Hurt the indigenous people. Make a buck. Sean?
Yes.
You're 18?
Yep.
What's happening?
Nothing much.
College deans probably have gotten the worst shake over the last 30 years in movies.
Yes.
No
very
cool.
Much so, yes.
No cool college dean. Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah. I got a question for the doctor. I heard previously, not too long ago, that there's an operation for somebody like me who has a crooked penis.
Mm-hmm.
Is there? Yeah, oh, sure there is. In fact, I did a show about these penile surgeries for Discovery Health Channel Wednesday midnight. I think it's coming up in a week or two, this particular one. Yeah, nice.
Well, you did the enlargement.
I did the enlargement. We talked about the crookeds and stuff, too. And there's various procedures that can be done. I will tell you that primarily there's a couple reasons why you would get it done. One is if you have erectile dysfunction, pain, or trouble sustaining an erection, or if you find your partner is having pain with intercourse. Like it hurts to you're heterosexual, right?
Yes.
So if your female partners complain that it's hurting them, then you might want to get it corrected. The fact is, though, that basically they correct it by sort of swinging over the short side to the long side.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
By
pulling it straight.
Yeah, by cutting a pie out of it.
Yeah.
Like a pie slice out,
listen,
and that shortens it.
It's called a cake slice.
Cake slice.
I don't like cake as much. I like pie. I don't like to think of a penis pie.
Yeah, it's a cake. You don't like penis pie.
No.
So it's cake pie.
It's a little better than mincemeat, actually.
Penis cake. Penis cake's okay?
Yeah, penis cake.
It's one time cake is okay with you.
I like pie better than cake, and I don't like the pie chart.
I
want it to be a cake chart. My piece of the cake, you know, I like to be cake, you know, when taking your cut of the cake.
You want to be sure to talk to urologists and or plastic surgeons that have extensive experience with this.
Now, let me say this, Drew.
Yeah.
Guys who get a bad shake on TV and movies. Okay. Most guys who ride motorcycles are bad guys in all these movies, whether it's the crazy Japanese sort of gang, that ninja gang that pulls up next to the guys driving the car, or it's just your basic filthy biker.
Yeah.
But the guy who commandeers a motorcycle is always a great guy.
Right.
That's a guy who knocks somebody off their bike and hops on it.
Right.
That guy's a great guy.
Right.
That's Stallone from First Blood. You know, that's any time you got knock the guy off, the guy you're being chased, you got to get on the bike.
Yes.
That guy's a great guy. But the guy who rides the bike full time, bad guy.
Bad guy.
Interesting.
Yes, it's an important lesson there.
Powerful.
Do not ride motorbikes full time.
No. It's commandeer them.
Nay.
Once in a while, go running out on the street in front of the courthouse, knock some guy down who's just commuting on his bike, and take the bike, and the bike will spin around a little on the ground, and you hop on it, and that guy should flap his arms around, and then you go, hey, come back, or something generic.
And you're immediately a hero.
I want you to try that, because you know everything happens just like it does in the movies in real life, so go right out and do that.
I just like the guy, like, hey, come back, has anyone ever stopped? Like, what the guy get his bike commandeered?
Hey, by the way, you're getting carjacked. Just because you have a bicycle doesn't mean you're not getting carjacked.
Do you think the guy got his bike commandeered 8 months ago and yelled, hey, come back, and the guy doubled around and said, sorry, gave him the bike back. Sorry, man, I freaked. I don't know what to say.
I want to be a hero.
Does anyone come back when you yell, hey, come back? No? All right.
Get back here.
Yeah, it's like when you do the phone thing. Hey, hello? Hello? Is ever on the 55th button? Hello? Yeah, I'm here. I'm still here. All right. DJ Qualls is here tonight. Hustle and Flow. Name of his new joint.
Ooh. That's what we call it.
Take a out on the 22nd of July. Take a quick break. He's going to be on Leno tomorrow night, I should mention, too.
But Conan the next night.
And Conan the night after the next night.
On Wednesday.
We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this.
If you need help,
call Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
To see myself playing the drums in this song. Yeah, right now. No, now I'm on the guitar. Now I'm on the guitar. So I go over to the guitar now and then. But now I'm on the drums again. See, that's what I do. When I play air stuff, this system of a down, I'll switch around. I might be playing the bass and then the guitar solo comes around. I'm playing that.
Kick John off.
Yeah, kick John off that bass. Give me that axe.
I thought bass, John.
Oh, I mean, yeah, John's on the drums, yeah. You go eat your baba ganoush. I'll beat the Skins. Thank you very much. System of Down, everybody. DJ Qualson here tonight. He's got a little movie called Hustle and Flow, and he says best movie he's ever been in.
Yeah, but well, you should see the movies I've been in.
Well, I have.
Road Trip.
Yeah. Well, actually, yeah, that was great for me. It started my career, but it's not exactly Academy Awards stuff.
No, it's a fun frolic.
Yeah, it's fun.
You know, the only part of that movie I didn't like? They were jumping a Ford Taurus over a ravine. Mm. And maybe it was DJ Qualls who actually had to say, this car traveling is going to be traveling at 50 miles an hour and the hypotenuse of the angle.
No, that was Paula Costanzo.
Oh, sorry.
Now of Joey.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He went on to explain that a 1986 Ford Taurus station wagon weighs 1,300 pounds and traveling at 40 miles an hour. It's like, the car weighs 4,000 pounds. You guys were off by 300%. There's no car on the road that weighs under 3,000 pounds, maybe like a two-seater Lotus. It doesn't exist. There's no car ever been built that's under 2,000. You're talking about a go-kart or a motorcycle.
Yeah.
Which is one of those things where I get angry because I know stuff, and I realize people that write scripts never seem to know anything about anything technically. Just get on the goddamn computer. Just look it up.
You would think there'd be people checking that kind of thing, producers.
TV, if you know anything, TV annoys you normally. And in movies as well, whenever they get technical, they're like, hey, buddy, oh, what is this, baby? Oh, it's got hollowed out cams on it and a 445. Hollowed out cams? That doesn't exist. Like, you can't just make stuff up. Just go to the stupid computer and look up something about a car.
Here's what makes me angry.
I yelled this at Ivan Reitman, by the way.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
At his home.
You know some stuff about these things, and if you were to be saying something, they go, oh, we got to check that out. We'll see about that. I know things too, and I
Drew's
we'll
a talk, doctor. Everybody.
Yeah, saying stuff, and they'll go, "Well, we're gonna have to check the facts on this." Like,
yes, true.
That's when you check the facts.
No respect.
When experts tell you things, then you got to check the facts.
DJ, seriously, 1,300 pounds for a Ford Taurus station wagon.
I know
he's holding you accountable for that. You should have spoken
up.
It was
my first movie.
Mr. Director.
Could have jumped in. You had the
script. I was excited to be making $2,000 a week.
But that wasn't your first time in front of the camera, though. That line.
Oh, no.
No.
It wasn't his line, though, the guy from Joey.
No, but we had a big explosion that day. Like, the car exploded, like, 30 feet from me, and I was so nervous about that. I wasn't thinking about... And plus, as an actor, you don't listen to the other actors.
Yeah, you're right.
You're worried about yourself. That wasn't my line.
I know.
Listening.
I always like it when you go in, they're like, did you read the script? You're like, well, I read some of my parts. What do you mean, the whole script? No, why do I want to know their parts? Just fill my head with other parts, other pieces, parts? The other thing that got me mad recently was War of the Worlds had a car thing in it. Anyone see War of the Worlds? No?
No.
Disappointing.
Oh, was it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that.
Tom Cruise is going to kick your ass now.
Disappointing. He's going to jump on me like Oprah.
I heard a lot of people say they like the effects and stuff. Just too
good, good effects. Story was weak.
Yeah.
But a lot of, I mean, Spielberg. I like the guy normally, but screwed this one up. But there was this whole thing where he commandeered a van, and it was the only van that ran because he knew it was the starting solenoid, and I had to ruin it for my wife by explaining to her in the middle of the movie that even if the starter solenoid was bad on every car in the world, that was the whole premise, and he got the one car, and he was smart enough to change it, and that's why he could drive it, you could bump start every single manual shift car, which 60% of the cars on the road would be riding. So he's driving through this wasteland of stalled cars, but you just drop it into second gear, pop the clutch, and start the car. It's a horrible premise.
You don't need a starter, yeah.
You don't need a starter. I've started my Mazda truck that way almost every day for like 2 years, pushing it down the street.
Well,
like
you really
retard.
Pay attention, don't you, when you watch movies? I don't pay attention.
I get angry.
Movies are responsible for setting our cultural tone.
Come on. You make movies, you should pay attention to them.
I don't watch them, though.
Well, you see them, but you don't watch them, man.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Wow.
No, this is a heavy show.
That's heavy, man. That's right. And he made a movie, but this is a film.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
So you should do an article about that for High Times Magazine.
Thank you.
Ball everybody's high.
Paul?
Yep.
You're 26?
Yeah, hey, how's it going?
You know the cool thing about High Times Magazine? You probably can just keep repeating the same articles. You know what I mean?
Gosh, even the pictures.
Chong made the cover again this month. It's fantastic. You just do a, you know, tour Snoop's house, every single, you know, like... You really could publish the exact same article 3 weeks, you know, 3 issues later for eternity, you know, whatever. But they're in, who would come? Oh, are they going to write a letter? write a letter?
Dear Mr. Editor.
Dear Head Hesher. it left this reader cold. Paul?
Yeah, hey, how's it going, guys?
What's happening?
So, I guess my question's for Dr. Drew. Adam, obviously, feel free to chime in. But so for the past 3 months or so, maybe about a dozen times now, I've woken up in the morning to my girlfriend asking me if I remembered what I did and what I said last night. And it turns out that I've been having, like, sleep sex with her, very, like, aggressive. I'll just wake up in the middle of the night, but not even be awake so much and get very aggressive with her. Not violent, but some of the things that come out of my mouth that she tells me I said are definitely not of my normal character. And
you're asleep.
And you have... You have no recollection of this.
No, out of, say, the dozen times it's happened twice, I've, like, had a vague memory of me. All I thought I did was kind of, you know, rubbing and fondling, and then, but I passed right back out after, like, 10 to 20 seconds of it.
Do you have a history of other sorts of sleep disturbances when you were growing up, say?
No, I've always been, like, sleeping is just one thing I've never had a problem with.
So, you never sleptwalk, you never had night terrors?
No, none of that. Maybe when I was a kid, like twice, three times, I ended up in my, like, sleptwalked into my parents' bed, maybe, like, one or two times, three times.
All right.
Is it sleepwalked or slept? Sleepwalked.
Sleepwalked.
Hey, is this the first woman you've slept with consistently?
I'd say as far as, like, spending the night and everything, yes. Like, I've definitely had girlfriends and stuff where I spent the night, but never this much, pretty much on a nightly basis.
This is the break it in.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's a certain novelty. There's a weird thing, you know, when you're relatively young and you stay with a woman consistently at the beginning, that you may be asleep, but your penis is up. I mean, it's right. Like, whoa, I ain't going to bed. What's going on? There's a chick here. You know what I mean?
But why is it such, like, according to her, like, some of the things that come out of my mouth are just, like, not what I would normally say in any way whatsoever. Yeah. I feel like it's pretty vulgar.
Like what? You seem to want to tell us what it is, so.
No, I don't get that.
I'll feel free to abbreviate so you won't have to bleed me out. I'll say things like, I want to F the F and S out of you. I want to suck on your F and T's.
T's. Listen, you MFing B. I want to F the S out of your T's with my throbbing C and shoot a hot load of J all over your B's. It's really awesome what we've turned into as a society, isn't it?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. We'll be doing some CH.
All right. Okay. Actually, strange enough, that you can say. You don't have to say CH. Strangely enough, yeah. You spent, Adam, too long in Vegas. It's changed you.
Now get me an F and B while I watch some sports C. Yeah.
All right, Paul, this is not an uncommon thing, or it's certainly not common, but it's not unheard of. Let's put it that way. Are you on any medication? Do you do drugs, alcohol?
No. Nothing.
All right. Usually this is a form of sleep disturbance. There can be mood disturbances, bipolar disorder, those kinds of things sometimes associated with this. Sleep terrors, sleepwalking, that kind of thing is often a precursor to this. Even seizure-type phenomenon. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if you were under a lot of stress with various kinds of sleep deprivation going on right now, and this is just sort of a manifestation of that. There are people have tried medication to sort of push this down when these things happen. A lot of people, I've treated a lot of patients that get up and rip their room apart. They
really?
Have rages at night. They have night terrors and rages and things.
Really?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Do you grow out of that, though? I heard that grew out of night terrors.
Night terrors, but then they turn into these kinds of things when you're an adult.
Just start destroying the room?
Yeah.
And what are their spouses?
It scares the hell out of them.
But they, I mean.
You can't wake them up because that would hurt them.
Yeah. No, I would hit them with a hose.
Yeah, you got to bring them down. You got to.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's going to freak your
That's kind of a drug addict thing. That's people doing their withdrawal and stuff.
All right. Here's the other thing, too. Guys want to know, why all the dark, misogynistic things? I know this point has been pounded into the ground, but I think as guys, there's a lot of stuff that resides within us in our DNA that we have to sort of repress a little bit. And when you fall asleep or you get high enough or drunk enough, it starts to sort of rear its ugly head.
Well, and
it's no wonder why everyone's dreams are much less passive than what they are.
Sure.
They're much more aggressive than they are passive,
sure.
You know? And why that's what's sort of running around in your weird reptilian brain
mm-hmm.
somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Heavy, man.
Well said.
Noah?
Hello?
You're 15?
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's an honor for you to take my call.
It's great to hear from you.
Sorry. I'm kind of...
You're calling from Los Gatos. What is that? Is that the cat? What's it? What's that?
That's a cat. It's a very nice place south of San Francisco.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I'm shocked that you took my call.
But it called the cat?
The cat.
The cats? You live in a city called the cat.
Yeah.
Cats, how dare you?
The cats.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird.
We live in a city called the Angels. A Corolla.
Adam, wait a minute. You screwed that up. Yeah, we live in the Angels. Well, it's like the city of the Angels.
Yeah, but it's the
All
city
right.
of the cats.
The city of the cats. It's a crap. It's fleas and crap everywhere.
The problem is the names that we've chosen for our California cities gets very confusing.
Well, let me just say this. If we're, the number, I would say one of the number, maybe the number one issue facing all these border cities is illegal immigration. And when every city is.
And every street and every city.
And every street, it's like, well, you go to San Diego, leave for Mexico. He's giving a guy in Mexico not to go to San Diego, not to go to Chula Vista, not to go to
Sierra Madre,
not to take Sepulveda Boulevard over to Los Feliz.
On your way, go to San Bernardino.
Via
Marisol.
Yeah, hit Santa Barbara on your way out to pass through San Clemente and go into Santa Barbara and then San Rafael. And it never ends.
Never.
It doesn't end. We don't have a name. The city doesn't have a Spanish surname to it. It keeps going. So it's weird. It's sort of weird telling it, don't come to this place we've named for you. It's weird.
And we all speak Spanish.
Yeah, it's over. I'm going to Canada. Go ahead.
Where they speak French.
That's right. Go ahead, Noah.
Okay, Germany or Florida. A family ate breakfast for 18 months from the surface of a broken deep freezer that contained the mummified body of their 7-year-old son. The grisly discovery.
Go ahead.
All right, sorry. The grisly discovery will trigger a major inquiry into the shortcomings of social services, which do not energetically investigate the fate of the boy despite his absence from school for more than a year. Mm-hmm. We found the body in a search of a 5-room apartment owned by the people who have 8 other children aged between 5 and 20. The mother was detained and reportedly told the police that the child had been dead since December 2002. The cause of his death is unclear.
This has to be Florida.
It has to be Florida, yeah.
I know this is either... it's either Jewish or Asian family. I mean, it's impossible to be anything other than Jew or Asian. I mean,
that's kind of ironic because I'm Jewish.
Yeah, it's impossible that this... I'm sorry, Noah, but this got to be a Jewish family we're talking about. 8 kids, one of them's in a freezer, he's mummified, they're eating on top of the freezer. I mean, I know Jews. This is the way they act. Let's be honest. So, but all that aside,
High. Like, what is this about? Is this a riddle?
I'm never
Germany
wrong.
Or Florida.
We have to guess if this took place in
all
Germany
macabre,
or Florida.
All macabre activity. If you read a story and it's something bizarre and sort of particularly sexually or sort of violently but macabre, Germany or Florida. Those are the two places those things occur.
Right.
And so our listeners call in, they tell the story, and we decide this occur in Germany or Florida.
I usually explain it, but I'm just tired of
it. I know you are. You've been in Vegas for a
while. There we go. I'm going Florida.
Florida.
Can't be Germany.
DJ?
I think Germany.
Ooh.
Why?
I don't know. I'm feeling it. I'm a little psychic.
Freezer?
And plus, yeah.
Freezer? 8 children?
They have freezers and, I mean, I'm sure that there's people who have children they can't support all over the world.
Yeah. No. It's impossible to judge.
I think the family is Turkish.
I feel bad when I happen to know that it's a Jewish or Asian family, but
I think they're Turkish.
I can't judge. I cannot. Noah, Germany or Florida?
It's actually Germany.
Oh, my God.
Damn.
Oh.
Wow.
DJ, come back here every night. And
I know.
This out.
I should go to Vegas with you because I'm an amazing gambler.
Are you?
Yeah.
Thanks, Noah. What? Tell us, because I got killed.
Roulette.
Roulette?
Really?
I hit numbers left and right.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
really?
Crazy.
Like, literally, like, 15 seconds before before the ball drops, I know where it's going to go. Like, I just see it. And I used to have night terrors, and I would get, things would come to me, and I would go in and say to my parents that they would wind up happening. When I was 12 years old, I went into my dad's bedroom, and I was out of my mind, like, crying. I had a night terror. I told him I had cancer. 2 years later, I was diagnosed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I know everything.
Well, that it could just be hypochondria. Though.
No.
What cancer?
You can't cause yourself to have cancer, can you?
No.
But there's many a neurotic child that thinks they might have cancer because they saw a special on 2020 on cancer the night before.
Oh yeah. I guess it was a coincidence.
What kind of cancer?
Hodgkin's.
That's right.
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, I got skinny.
Cured it.
You got skinny.
Yeah.
Were you big? Were you fat?
Fat. Yeah.
Really?
Well, we talked about this.
Yeah.
I think.
I'd forgotten that.
I just did a pilot, and they asked for pictures from my parents and my dad. I never thought he would send the fat pictures. I'm walking down a stairway to get arrested by Mandy Patinkin, and I look over, and there's a picture of me probably like 5'2 and 200 pounds.
Whoa.
Really?
Yeah. I was so
You were
pissed
so,
off.
You were, yeah. So you were, is your family big?
No.
You just were a fat kid.
Yeah, they fry everything in the South. I would steal loaves of bread from the store and go home and eat the whole loaf. Like,
really?
Yeah, or make potato chip sandwiches. Like,
really?
It was ridiculous.
And you weren't into sports or you didn't?
No, Of course not. I play the clarinet.
Play the clarinet. Yeah. That's right. Well, he says you can't play the clarinet and the fullback on the football team.
Well, you really can't.
Yeah, you can't. You're right.
Stereotypes are true.
They're so true. Uh-huh. They're even really truer than the stereotypes that they are.
My wife plays clarinet.
But she doesn't play fullback.
Oh, you're right. Good point.
My wife plays a clarinet. Mm-hmm. I'd like her to bring that with her next time
really
we went
play.
Out.
She plays like the Mozart clarinet concerto.
Really?
Yes.
Tell her to bring the clarinet.
Yeah, it'll change your relationship with her.
Yeah, it's like either I hear her play the clarinet or I hear another ice skating story. Play the clarinet. Awesome. All right, so you were a fat kid.
Yeah.
And then you got Hodgkin's.
Right.
And all the weight came off.
It did.
And
immediately.
But then what did it do to you physiologically that you can't put it back on or that you haven't put it back on?
I don't know exactly. My heart rate sped up. It did a lot of damage.
You had chemo?
Yeah. Like I had 24 chemos and it really messed me up inside.
Did you have radiation too?
Yeah.
Is 24 chemos a lot?
It was a lot for me.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a lot for anybody, but
standard.
I mean.
You know, what, stage 2 or stage 3?
Stage 3.
Yeah.
Was it?
It means it's above and below the diaphragm. It was a spread.
Well, it's pretty advanced then, right?
Yeah.
Did they give you any, like, you'll never play the clarinet again or 50-50 chance?
No, but they told me that if I didn't take the treatment, I'd have about 2 good months.
Oh, yeah, you die without it.
Yeah.
But about 60% cure rate, I bet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
60% sounds decent, but not.
Love them odds.
Not when it's cure rate.
Yeah, but when you know the odds, when you can predict.
At least that's good. Yeah.
He knew where the ball was going on the roulette table. He certainly knows the size of the ball.
Yeah, I mean, I never believed that I was going to die.
See?
Too bad his dad didn't listen to him 2 years ago, though,
right?
Could have caught it earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a lot of these stage ones, a lot easier to treat.
Dad should be jailed, no doubt about it.
He definitely should. I'm suing him right now.
Oh, I'd like to get in on it, too.
Okay.
Because I feel like I've been affected by it as well. I mean, not to the extent that you have, but still. Some room for me to wet my beak.
Yeah, my father's a factory employee. I don't think we're going to get much.
Well, whatever he has.
Okay.
You know.
You can have...
You go for the deep pockets.
You can have the Hyundai.
You sue his employer.
I'm suing my parents, too, and I know they don't have anything. It makes it actually better.
It's the principle.
Just the joy of taking what they do have.
It's better that they don't have anything. You know what I mean? Yeah. Oh, you don't have a refrigerator, just a cooler? All right, I'll take that. See what I'm saying? No, I'm not going to use it. I'm going to throw it out, but I need it. Yeah. I actually just puncture a couple holes in it with a screwdriver and get it back to you. Yeah. So 200 pounds at, like, age 12.
Yeah.
And how did they diagnose the Hodgkin's? What were the symptoms?
I was asymptomatic. That was the thing. Ooh. That was crazy. Like, I was walking around totally fine. I had lumps in my neck.
Oh.
Yeah.
And probably with your extra weight, harder to show up or harder to
find? Yeah, well, not only that, like, I didn't know what it was. I thought it was maybe puberty or maybe something like that. It was just like...
Or maybe a milk dud that just got lodged.
Exactly.
Shotgunning more milk duds. One got stuck along the way.
Oh, we're going to fist fight.
Wow. Wow, so you went in. They told you this. You're in the fifth grade or something?
No, I think I was in this eighth grade.
Eesh.
Oh, the eighth grade.
Yeah.
You're smart. All right.
No, I was like 14.
Oh, you're 4. Oh, I thought you got it when
you were
12.
I was going to the ninth grade.
Sorry. You're,
no.
You're 14.
I predicted it at 12.
Oh, you predicted at 12 and got it at 14.
Right.
And so now you got to pull out of school. And,
yeah, I couldn't go to school.
And how long were you out for?
2 years.
2 years?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that's why I'm socially inept. I had no friends.
And you lost. Well, you seem to do okay.
Well, I'm famous, so that's why people like me now.
Yeah.
I became famous to get friends.
Well, do you have friends now?
I have lots of them.
All right. And are you one of these guys who doesn't trust people because you think maybe they only like you because you're in a movie?
Oh, no, I don't care.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm sure people only like you sometimes just because you're on the radio, right? I have friends who just like to hang out with you because you're a celebrity.
He never thinks about it.
I never think about it.
Yeah,
I don't make any distinction.
I never think about it.
People do all that. The chick only blew you because you're, that's why I did it. You idiot. Why don't you do it? Stop worrying about what their motivation is, and you start going to figure out motivate someone yourself.
Yeah, I don't have too many whys in my life. I just have a bunch of is's. Like, I don't really question a bunch of crap.
Yeah. Why should you?
Yeah, well, why?
Who the hell wants to pick...
Pragmatist society here. It's
pick
nice.
Pick apart everything and figure out why everyone wants to hang out.
What works for you guys is what works.
No, here's the thing. People want to hang out with anybody based on whether there's an attractive package
or they're
or not.
Interesting right. or they're whatever.
Are they dynamic? Are they interesting? Are they smart? Do they share the same interests? Sometimes some people are just really good looking and people are attracted to them. Other people are really smart.
The problem is the pool of people that need to bask in the narcissistic glow of celebrity tend to be people that don't make great friends.
Yeah.
And so you got to be careful.
Yeah,
it took me a long time, like about 3 years of being out here to get good friends.
Yeah.
And I mean, and most of my friends are in my same line of work, so they're of comparable success or whatever.
They play the clarinet?
Yeah, we all play the clarinet, so they're on Get Baked and, and talk about how our movie roles really
represent life. You know people, you have friends in the business.
Yeah, most of my friends are actors.
Hmm. See, I'm from here, so I don't need any new friends. I just got my old friends.
See, all my old friends bailed.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Well, you left them, though. You left Tennessee.
Well, no, I think that when I mean, because I'm from a pretty rural part of the country, so I would call them and like, what are you doing? And, you know, a lot of my friends got jobs at gas stations and factories and things like that.
Right.
And, you know, and I would ask them what they were doing, and they would say, you know, I'm going to the gas station or the factory tomorrow, and I would be, you know, on a movie set, like in Spain or somewhere, and it would piss them off. Like, they would think that I was bragging when you're just sort of telling your day.
Right. And
it alienated them, and a lot of them just bounced.
All right. Well, I'll take them. I'll take them on. DJ Qualls is here tonight. Hustle and Flow, name of the new movie. We'll be right back. Coming out on the 22nd of July, by the way. Take a quick break. Get back. Talk to Sean. Gets off from videotaping people having kinky sex. Talk to him. He's calling from Yorba Linda, by the way, which is another. Yorba Linda means come on down in Spanish. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this.
Love Line. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. It's Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. DJ Qualls is here tonight. Thank Hustle you. And Flow, name of the new movie. Best project he's ever done, and the buzz is good early and often. Been seeing the commercials, been hearing it reviewed. It's coming out the 22nd of July. Sean from Yorba Linda, who's 22. Sean?
Yeah.
You videotape people having kinky sex?
Well, I haven't videotaped anyone having kinky sex, mostly kinky masturbation stuff.
What do you mean?
Girls or guys?
Well, I have a girlfriend, and she won't do it for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not gay or anything, but I found a guy on the website MySpace.
No, wait a second.
And
hold on a second. First off, why are you giving the website address or name out? But number two, you're not gay, and you like your girlfriend wouldn't do it, so you just videotape a guy beating off?
Well, he wasn't just beating off.
Oh, okay. And his thumb in his ass, too? Or
is yeah.
That, okay, well, that's totally heterosexual, then. I'm 1,000 pardons. I had no idea. I thought he was just masturbating. That makes it gay. If he was waving at you while he was beating off, that's a totally different situation. Give me a big thumbs up. Actually, big thumbs up would kind of make it straight. The guy was laughing. big Fonzie.
No, like, yeah. I wouldn't want to, like, you know, put my own stuff in him, but...
No. Yeah.
It's just, I like to videotape things, and I...
Yeah, no, no, I know.
You're
no, you're the, you know, you're more of a, you just collect,
do you
know,
also,
history.
Like, looking in people's windows and things like that?
No, nothing like...
Oh, nothing weird like that. Oh, sorry. I beg your pardon. Yes, Sir Walter Raleigh. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. All right, so listen, Sean. I'm going to give you a choice between gay weirdo and gay weirdo.
Or bogus.
So you got A, gay, B, weirdo, C, gay weirdo. It's a little combination. Or D, bogus. Now, if I were you, I'd hope it was bogus. But if it's not, I think I would go...
Gay weirdo.
Oh. No, I might go just go weirdo.
I don't think that it's... I don't know if it's... I guess it's kind of weird, but...
Yeah, it's like, weird.
If my girlfriend would do it, I would only videotape her.
Yeah, it's like saying, you know, I'd like to have sex with my girlfriend, but she's on her period, so I got to pack this guy's fudge.
Or even I have to go get a prostitute or whatever.
It's you gotta go with someone who's not
opposite sex. Yeah,
has a penis.
How old is he? How old are you?
He's 22.
Sean? Oh yeah, that's beyond the experimental.
Sean, something's up here. Something's good and weird.
So what happened to you growing up?
You're marginally less weird than the guy who's beating off.
Mm-hmm.
Marginally.
Well,
I mean,
put stuff up my a hole.
All right, now it's bogus.
Now it's bogus. Yeah.
All right, so just go D, bogus, Sean.
There's an international convention on.
Yeah,
this
you got to say it's bogus if it's bogus.
It's not though. Like, I don't know if you want to think it is. I just want to know if you guys could help me figure out how to get my girlfriend into it. Is there any way to kind of?
It's bogus. It's just so bogus.
Here's the deal. We could be totally effed up.
Some guys are so effed up that they sound like robots,
right.
And then that makes them sound like bad actors,
right.
And makes them bogus. I think Keanu Reeves has a little of that in him.
Little?
A lot of that in him. But Sean has some of that, too. Sean, do you actually think we're going to tell you how to get your girlfriend to masturbate in front of you while you film her with a video camera? Or what would even make you think we would want to give you that advice, even if we knew what that was?
No, but would you think that if I asked, and I said that I had gotten a guy to do it, would that make her want to do it more?
Oh, yeah.
She'll love to hear that you've watched a guy masturbate.
Yeah.
She was going to love that.
I'm getting...
All right, Sean.
Yeah.
All right, now I'm gonna give you A, gay, B, weirdo, C, gay, weirdo, D, head trauma, E, bogus. Which is it?
I guess weirdo.
All right, sticking with weirdo.
Yeah.
And by the way, you should just say B, please. Play the game
sticking
right.
Sticking with weirdo.
You stuck with weirdo? All right, because we're getting to the bonus round.
Sean, problematic behavior for many, many reasons.
Most of the problem is you don't know it's a problem.
Right, and that you don't have any sense of how a female partner would respond to this behavior. And that your intent on getting her to do something that's exploitative is further evidence of your lack of concern or empathy for who she is and what
fact,
she feels.
The fact that you think you're going to tell you met a dude on the internet and he lets you videotape him beating
she
off,
will
that's going to get her any closer
she
to this.
She will run out of the room screaming when you tell her
but
that.
The fact that you are even toying with the idea of telling her this means something's clearly wrong
and
with your thought
thinking,
process.
And thinking that
well, we normally have a pretty honest relationship, and it's kind of upsetting to me that I'm not telling her.
And this is going to somehow coerce her into that behavior.
Yeah.
It's very messed up.
Sean, why don't you give her this, give her a break and break up with her, would you? Do her a favor?
And what happened, you were traumatized growing up, so what happened?
I wasn't traumatized growing up.
Something's up. Your parents, are they together?
No.
Was there alcohol or drugs, anything good like that?
Well, yeah, but not to the point of messing me up.
Oh, yeah, we can tell that.
Something's wrong with you.
Were you exposed to a lot of pornography growing up?
No.
Why did your parents break up?
I don't know.
Nobody knows.
My dad just kind of left one day.
Just one day left. It's kind of weird.
Right.
What's he doing now?
I don't know.
Do you know him?
Every now and then he'll call, but it's maybe once a year.
How old were you when he left?
What'd you do today, son? I videotaped a guy beating off. Good boy.
What were you? How old were you when he left?
Like 8 or 9.
That's pretty heavy. Yeah. Now, how about your mom now? How's that relationship?
It's all right.
Did she have boyfriends coming through and stuff?
Not really. She used to for a while, but she doesn't anymore.
Did any of those do anything to you?
No.
All right. I'm done with Sean. Right. Sean. You should think about a little therapy.
Ooh. All right, this is more like psychiatric care.
You got issues, baby. You understand? This is coming from three sane people.
Well, DJ hasn't rung in yet.
He's nodding his head feverishly.
I'm really not, because I'm kind of confused why he needs therapy. I don't really understand.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's not, does it, I mean, this is not the only thing that gets you sexually aroused, right?
No, it's just something I like that I couldn't get my girlfriend into, and I'd like for her to get into it.
Yeah, the reason he needs therapy is
He's not heterosexual. That's A.
He may not be heterosexual. B, he doesn't understand basic sort of human qualities or fundamentals of human existence.
Empathic failure.
He keeps talking to his girlfriend about doing something that most chicks just don't want to do, especially when there's a video camera present.
That level of intimacy with another male is going to freak her out. I mean, that's going to be, oh my, what?
Thinks he's going to use the videotape of him, another guy beating off as a springboard into this, like, honey, how about you diddle yourself while I videotape? Nah, I don't want it. Oh, yeah? Well, maybe this videotape will change your mind. Yeah. Oh, I see. That's how it's done. Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, look, I go to the shrink, Drew goes to the shrink, and we're relatively sane. If we go to the shrink, Sean can go to the shrink. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
It's
Sean's nuts. There's some serious issues
some
with Sean.
Serious boundaries.
Sean, and here's why we're saying this, DJ Qualls. We know that things don't exist in a vacuum. It's not just this. This is it. You know,
he's just exploring his sexuality.
Now,
it's free country.
Now,
Adam, how dare you? You're judging based on this man's
preferences.
That's
all I do is judge. He's a mess. I don't say he's dangerous. I don't say he's suicidal or homicidal.
I'm not saying he's bad.
I'm saying for his good.
Yeah.
Go hit the shrink. You're 22. You have a good life. Straighten out a few things. Maybe you are gay. Go have that life. Feel free to have that life.
Yes.
Free yourself, my friend.
But understand sort of how the human works, particularly you, Sean.
Yes. Carrie?
Yeah.
25?
Yes.
Uh-oh. Angry.
What?
Yeah, angry. I can hear it. Still a virgin.
Yes.
And you want to have sex?
Of course.
Of course. Adam, how dare you?
And what's up? Why haven't you had sex yet?
Well, the problem was when I was younger, I was raised very strict Catholic and...
You're fat.
No, actually, I'm not.
Yeah. Strict Catholic. Yeah.
I was religious up until I was about 22, and then I stopped. I just quit being religious, but at that point I was a 22-year-old virgin. And I think maybe just for women there is something about someone being your first, and so ever since then when I say I'm a virgin, I'm technically a virgin, so I've explored things, but I haven't actually had sex with someone because
you want it to be right,
someone being your first. And now I'm in medical school a year into it, so I have 3-4 years to go, so I'm pretty set on not having a serious relationship until I'm out, just because it's very time consuming. So I'm thinking, oh my Lord, I'm going to be 29 or 30 by the time I have sex. So I have a good friend that I've been friends with since college, and I didn't really date him. I didn't really date him. We just...
All right, slow down. I know what the question is.
What about your classmates in college, in medical school, rather?
There's just nobody... I mean, I've dated people since I was not religious, but it's just... There's always that pressure, that weight of, well, is this the person I want to be my first? And I just... There just wasn't something... So I have, like, a good friend whom I love very deeply, have had a great relationship with, was friends with when I was...
You know what this has become, the sort of modern equivalent of? It used to be people would marry people to keep them in the country.
Yeah.
It's like, you're not in love with the person. I know. I mean, it seemed like it was more popular at a certain point. I think they check into it a little more now. But the point is I knew a guy, actually, who did this for like $3,000 or something. Point is it's kind of become this way with virginity to a certain extent. There's a lot. We've talked to many a woman who's just wants to get it over with and realizes there was some guy from the neighborhood who she was friendly with. Ironically, never wanting to give it up because it had to be right.
Yeah.
And now wanting to get it over with just to make it, well, I won't be beaten up or raped, or I won't fall in love, or whatever.
But this is a little different than we normally hear. Her thing is, most of that version would go, I just want a guy that I'm just attracted to. I'm going to find that alpha male and just do it. She's saying
not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a guy. Women know guys are all basically sure things.
Yes.
And so they know it's not a matter of whether they can hit the target, it's whether they want to squeeze the trigger. If she goes and squeezes the trigger, she can just knock on the guy's door and go, right. It's time.
Right.
And his folks could be in town, and he could still just bang her on the fold-out sofa. The
funeral.
Right in between them, right.
But her thing is, she, because it's her first, she wants it to be something memorable. So she wants it to be somehow emotionally meaningful, a friend. It's a friend she loves. And it's
right.
So fine, go do it with him. That's fine.
Mm.
He'll be fine.
Yeah, but now I want to know the rest of her story. Carrie?
Yes.
Anything we need to know about?
About who?
I'm smelling some, any molestation?
No, actually, never. I don't know if it, my mom died when I was four.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Raised by a single dad and just an
wow.
older brother.
Ooh.
I don't know if, I mean.
That's pretty heavy.
Mom died when you were four.
What happened to her?
Cancer.
Yee.
My goodness.
And, so, that's really traumatic. I mean, I don't know where that ranks up there between being molested or whatever, but that's huge.
Yeah.
Your mom dying at four.
Well, it certainly affects your ability to feel safe in a relationship.
Yeah.
And then you add to that a lot of religious intrusion that
mm-hmm.
made you sort of freaked out about your sexuality.
Yeah.
And then you abandoned that entirely, which is maybe you want to kind of integrate some part of that into your belief system so you're not sort of just trying to repress it.
Yeah,
because it's kind of in you.
It's, the whole God thing's got to be a tough sell, though. When your mom dies of cancer at four, God. You wanted.
I mean, that's how you deal with it.
Had a plan. Well, that's how you deal with it. Yes, of course. All right. So he had a plan for your mom, and everything happens for a reason. That's what I believe. So we're almost giving you the green light on having sex with this strange guy. But
and I was just, the medical school, the students kind of do a lot of dating usually. So why don't you guys find some friends in medical school, too?
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing wrong with you, right? You're smart.
I don't know. It's kind of an awkward thing to say, but I've been approached. I'm 5'10". I'm 140 pounds. I've been approached before about, modeling. I'm not unattractive. Mm.
Yeah.
I've had men wanting to have sex with me. Men will have
right.
sex with almost anyone, but I just...
Well, don't be so uptight, baby.
To start dating around your classmates, you'll find some real good relationships there. Because you guys are it's like you're on a sinking ship together for 2 years. You won't see anybody else for the next 2 years. So
yeah, and look, I know everyone does that, not enough time for a relationship. But if you get into a relationship with someone else who doesn't have enough time for a relationship,
perfect.
You're fine.
Right. Perfect.
That's what I'm looking for now.
And by the way, dating is just dating.
My wife has plenty of time for a relationship.
You
and I don't. That's our problem, really. Yeah. She's waiting for me to come home so we can have a relationship, and I don't have time.
You never come home.
Yeah. Thank God the dog has time.
Oh, yeah.
Dog's got all the time in the world. Yeah. True. You don't have enough time, do you?
No.
No. And it'd be nice if your wife didn't have enough time either. They both wouldn't have enough time. Wouldn't you love just to come home and listen, sweetie, this Friday, I was thinking of me and you could see, not enough time. I'm on the move.
I'm just saying, you wait till you have kids.
That'd be awesome, though,
you
right?
Wait.
That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. Not enough time? Yeah, plenty of time. Watch that TiVo. Woo! DJ Qualls is here tonight. New movie, Hustle and Flow, out July 22nd. Getting favorable notices, Drew. Favorable. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this.
If you need help,
call Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
Yeah. Getting heavy with DJ Qualls and Dr. Drew during the commercial. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Hustle and Flow, name of the movie, which is coming out on the 22nd of July. Boyfriend wants to have threesome with a guy, says it's for her. Jessica?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hi, how are you?
18, yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of stuck. I don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Why is this so difficult if it's something you don't want to do to say, no, I'm not going to do it?
Well, it's not even the fact that, I told him, no, I don't want to do it, but I'm stuck because I've been with him for 2 years. I'm in love with him. He's my first love, and he wants to have sex with a man. I don't know if that means he's gay or if he's curious.
Now, let me say a couple things. First off, when I hear first love, it means like first car. Piece of crap I got rid of when I was 19.
Or you should have gotten rid of when
should
you were 16.
Should have gotten rid of when I was... Well, yeah. If I didn't have it before 19, I would have gotten rid of it at 19. Point, yeah, stupid dad.
Anyway. So there's a relationship that probably should end anyway.
Yeah, the first love is great. You have a first love. Everyone should have a first love and a second love and marry your fifth love.
Right.
And this kind of like, you know, this sort of crap where like, oh, I have all this time invested. This is a reason why you shouldn't invest any more time. You've invested enough time.
This threesome thing is a crack in the block.
It's, yeah.
Yeah, he just threw a piston. Threw a rod.
But, you know, the piston was attached to the rod. A punch right through the block. Yeah. And now the coolant is mixing in with the oil and it's turning it white. Ugh. And you're going to have to pull the thing and have it milled and hot tanked.
Forget it.
Yeah.
You're much better off with a new car.
Just break up with him and let him go do it.
You can get a low mileage rebuild out of a guy. Are we actually talking about cars right now? Yeah, what was that, DJ Qual?
She should break up with him and let him go have sex with a guy by himself. Obviously, that's what he wants to do.
Yeah, Jessica,
I talked to him about it, and I said, you know, I was like, why would you want to do that? Are you gay? You know, tell me, are you bi, whatever. And he's like, no, I think it'd be fun for you. Like, he's putting it on me, like it's something I want to do.
Hold on. He doesn't have to interact with the guy.
He'd be a weirdo. Right. To watch her having sex.
Right.
Which also is a cracked block again.
Yeah.
But here's the deal. The guys aren't
curious.
That's
a warped head.
Yeah. Well, guys aren't curious. And guys are...
That's a cracked block.
Guys have gay that is sort of moving in that direction and they're having trouble contending with that. There's an other category here, which is this may be a guy that sort of... aggressive and misogynistic and like seeing you have sex with another guy.
Yeah.
That's a horrible impulse. Horrible. Block.
By the way, when we say cracked block, do you have any idea what we're talking about, Jessica?
No.
You say no? Okay.
The engine's shot. The car is no good.
So basically, I should just leave him. I know because... A, I don't want to stay with a person who wants me to have sex with
Good. Right, and B, it was your first love. You need to have a few more relationships.
You don't need B. Look, if A's good, you don't need a B.
Yeah.
Think about that, everyone.
Hmm?
If A's like, he tried to kill me, and B, he was late on his mortgage payment or something, you don't need a B.
You got A.
Mm-hmm. You got A? You don't want to be with someone who's like that? Boom. A, that's enough. A-hole, A. True. Let's talk to Michelle. Michelle?
Yes.
26. Your boyfriend won't get rid of ex's belongings who passed away.
Yes.
Ooh.
What happened?
They dated like 2 years ago, and she was his live-in nanny as well. And
they started
when he was her employer or employee, and then they broke up, and she still lived there. Well, she passed away like 7 months ago. And we've been dating for like 4 or 5 months, and about a month and a half, 2 months ago, I brought it up. Why does he still have his stuff? And he says, because he's guilty of how it ended, and he didn't have feelings for her and all this other stuff.
What did she die of?
He stabbed her.
Some like liver disease or something.
Uh-oh.
How old was she?
Early 30s.
How old is he?
He's 38.
And he's got kids?
Yes.
But he's divorced?
Yes.
And he brought this woman in. Ooh, he sounds like a handful.
Yeah, this guy sounds like a mess.
Well, nah.
Well.
The guy compared to the messes we've been talking to tonight.
Well, that's true. At least he's got a job. But, I mean, you're 26. He's, what, near 40?
It just sounds like an unusual.
Screwing his nanny, and she died, and. He doesn't want to get rid of her stuff.
Just a handful. That's all I can tell you. Just a lot of chaos, a lot of conflicted boundaries, and it's a handful. But, you can't change that about him. He is somebody that has lots of bizarre and conflicted feelings, making weird choices.
I don't think you're going to get here's the deal. If you want to stay with this guy, stay with him and let the nanny stuff go.
Exactly. Because him getting rid of that is not going to be...
And you being freaked out all the time is not going to work either.
No.
Just let it go or realize you can't let it go and say it's me or the nanny outfit that you beat off to.
It wouldn't be such a bad thing with this guy's boundary issues. Bringing somebody in to live in, takes care of his kids that he's sleeping with. Mess.
Right. All right. I can. Michelle's very sympathetic.
I know.
She's dead.
4 months. Get it out of here.
Come on. Let's go now. She was 33. She had her time. Yeah. All right.
Maybe Michelle is made for this guy. Could be good.
I think so, too. What, she died? Something. I don't know. Whatever. Life's for the living.
She's a nanny.
She's a nanny. Come on now. She's nannying in heaven. She's looking after Moses' kids.
Here we go.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
If you need help,
call Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
Well, that's it. That's the show, everybody. I want to thank DJ Qualls for coming in here tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Sorry I was late.
Good to see you again.
Our pleasure. It's all right. He was sleeping.
I was.
You was.
They know if you can't get me after calling me like 10 minutes, I'm asleep.
Good. Do you like taking naps?
Yeah, I fall asleep all the time.
That's my thing.
Yeah, my voicemail, if you call my phone right now, says I'm asleep.
Good. My whole thing is, you know, they go, you can sleep when you're dead. I'm not taking any chances at all.
No.
No way.
Enjoy sleep too much.
Yeah, I don't want to get to hell and realize there's no cots.
Exactly. I'm going to hell, so I thought I'll sleep now.
Right. All right. We'll be back after this.
Did you make her pick out the nuts?
There were no nuts! No nuts! No nuts!
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed in this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Gold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.